This is Camp Hacker. Come find our show notes and our blog for camp directors and leaders at camphacker.tv.
Good day and welcome to our podcast. This is Camp Hacker, episode 88, recorded on the 23rd of March, 2016. On today's show, debriefing your day at camp. If you would like easy, automatic, free updates of our podcast, you can subscribe in iTunes or use the free Stitcher app. This week's Camp Hacker podcast is sponsored by GoCamp Pro. In a lot of ways, GoCamp Pro was built for directors just like you, people doing it all themselves. We designed this by asking ourselves, what resources do we wish that we had during our time as directors? The material will be helpful to those in their first 5 to 7 years of directing, but so much of it fits for camp directors who are looking for ways to make their camp life easier. To join, go to gocamp.pro. And this week's podcast is sponsored in part by camp pros like you who support the show on Patreon. If you've got even one good idea from the Camp Hacker podcast, you can show your support for the show for as little as $1 per episode. We've got some great rewards too, just like a Kickstarter campaign. Please go to patreon.com/camphacker. We hope you enjoy the Camp Hacker show.
Hello, Camp Pros, and welcome to the Camp Hacker podcast. My name is Travis Allison. I'm one of the co-founders of GoCamp Pro, and we also do more podcasts and blogging, anything that'll help Camp Pros do their job better at camphacker.tv.
My name is Joe Richards. I'm the executive director at Pierce Williams Christian Center, which is a part of the United Church of Canada Summer Camp and Retreat program. We are located about halfway between Detroit and Toronto in Ontario.
I'm Jaleesa Danhoff, and I am the assistant director at Camp Nuevo, which is an all-girls camp in West Michigan entering its 90th year. We're open year-round, and we have 8 full-time staff, and we run a UBI of weddings and caterings all year long.
My name is Laura Kriegel, and I am the director at Camp Stomping Ground. We are located in central New York, right near Binghamton, and this is our second summer running, so we're a startup nonprofit summer camp.
And I'm Paul Sheridan. I'm the executive director at Four Winds Westward Ho. We're a traditional co-ed nonprofit sleepaway camp on Orcas Island in Washington State, and we are also entering our 90th year.
Amazing, amazing. Well, welcome back, Paul. It's so great to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
It's good. That we haven't had you back this year is not a reflection on how we feel about your podcasting. It's just that we haven't done enough shows this year. So it's great to have you back. We're going to count up and see. Paul must be approaching his 10th podcast pretty soon with us. So it's great to be here, Paul. Thank you.
It's always fun. I love it.
Right on. And Laura was one of our co-founders in GoCamp Pro, but wanted to have Laura on because we are so excited about the stuff that they're doing at Stomping Ground and really pushing the envelope of what camp is and being so incredibly intentional about the product. And so, Laura, I'm thrilled to have you here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Travis. I'm happy to be back.
Right on. And so, Laura, what I wanted to get just in a couple of seconds is why you started Stomping Ground. Why start fresh?
Sure. Jack, my partner, and I, we had a chance to visit over 100 summer camps in the few summers, 2-3 summers after graduating from college. We visited programs that completely broke the mold of what we thought was possible in camping and working with kids. And again, we were inspired and got to meet some really compassionate people doing really intentional things. And so I think the impetus for Stomping Ground came from the idea that we wanted to see if it was possible to work with kids in an environment where we gave them time to really dive into free play and stretch their own autonomy in a safe, comfortable, nurturing space. So at camp, we try and remove as much of the rules for adult convenience as possible and focus on powering with kids instead of powering over them. And in practicality, that looks like a lot of choice, a lot of counselors narrating for kids throughout the day, kind of what's happening. And I think we're embracing the fact that we're an emerging organization. So things are going to change. Things are going to shift and mold, and we're going to try lots of new things and see what works and what doesn't. And we hope to be very vulnerable and open and transparent with the rest of the camping community findings.
Yeah, that's awesome. And there's so many great things going on. I want to pick up on just one thing you said. What did you mean by rules that are convenient for adults?
I think in a lot of spaces, we know that kids learn best from making decisions rather than following directions, especially in summer camp. We don't have to follow the rules and guidelines of set out by public schools or really large institutions. But there are just some conventional wisdoms around, like, solving conflicts for kids or deciding kind of from top-down mentality, like, who's right and who's wrong in situations. So what we're going to try at camp is to take away some of those top-down rules and create an environment where kids have a transparent understanding of why those rules exist.
Right. Right on. And as Joe has so often said, that they have a one-sentence job description at Pierce Williams, the one thing that I've heard you say that always sticks in my brain that so sums up Stomping Ground to me is that the counselor's job is to figure out how to say yes to kids.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Right on. Well, Laura, it's great to have you back on the show and to talk camp with you, as always. Thank you. Jaleesa, thank you for being here, for being part of the Camp Hacker podcast.
Thanks. I'm really excited.
This
was like a career goal of mine. And now afterwards, there's nowhere to go from here. This is it.
You've been a great supporter of the show and for us in general, and so it's a pleasure to have you on. After hearing so many smart things from you, at conferences and things, and then also having the conversation with the EOT crew on the blab.im that we did a couple weeks ago, I thought, yeah, I need to make sure I get Jaleesa on the show more often, or start to get Jaleesa on the show more often. Right. So welcome here. Tell me a bit about the foundation of Nuevo, how it got started and why.
We were formerly a YWCA camp starting in 1926. And then in 1990, camp was sold. It was starting to be logged. And our current executive director actually stood in front of the logging truck to prevent camp being logged. The camp alumni got word that camp was being sold and was going to be built into like waterfront mansions and rose up like a phoenix from the ashes to buy back Camp Nuevo in a very short amount of time. And then they then gifted Camp Nuevo to a local not-for-profit called True North. And True North is like a one-stop shop for all of your needs. It's got like a food pantry and does heat and energy. It's like a $33 million Google of nonprofits is the way that we talk about it. And the CEO of True North is the former director of Camp Nuevo. She was the director here for 30 years. So it's a wonderful parent organization for us to be involved with. So we're an independent, not-for-profit camp, but with traditions that go back to 1926. So it's this beautiful blend of like autonomy and history where we're really free, much like Pierce Williams is, to implement any program we want or any idea we have, we just do it. And there's no red tape, there's no bureaucracy. It is delightful. And part of what's made us so successful is our lodge renovation and that we rent to corporate groups. And we have about 20 to 30 weddings a year. And most of those weddings are destination weddings where they come for a full weekend or a full week. Joe came to my wedding at Camp Nuevo a couple, a year and a half ago, which was a destination wedding. And so bride and grooms will zip line and paddleboard and then say, I do. It's like a dream.
Well, it was certainly my dream. That was the wedding that I had. So it's nice to hear of camps that are thinking of creative ways to do income. What did you call weddings and catering? What did you call it?
UBI, which is our unrelated business. So it's actually for profit that we run that. And we have a full catering company out of our kitchen.
Right.
And we actually had another camp director ask us, who do you use for your catering company? Who does that? And we're like, the Camp Nuevo team.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty amazing. So we're proud of what we've been able to do with rentals in an economy where school group rentals just aren't bringing in enough income to keep you operating year round.
Yeah, right on. Well, listen, it's a great panel today, and I'm really excited about it. And I want to thank Laura for giving us the topic. I think it's a timely one, and it's certainly one that I know this group has put a lot of thought into. So, Laura, why don't you tell us about what you wanted to talk about for today?
Well, I think my favorite part of the day at camp is when everybody is winding down at night and you kind of gather back with that family core group that you sleep with, your cabin group, your tent group, whatever it is, and you're able to kind of sum up the day together. And I think for a lot of kids, it makes the whole experience real, being able to relate to staff as well as other campers and say out loud what was important or the light bulbs that went off during the day for you, or your highs, your lows, your big moments, as well as your failures, being able to kind of have a space to share all those feelings. I think it makes the camp experience so that's what makes the camp experience so different from other places that work with kids. And I know each camp has a very unique way of doing that.
Right on. And I definitely want to start there. I want to talk with kids and how we can teach our staff to be that intentional about it. I also want to make sure that we end up thinking about how we can apply that bigger experience to the staff as well. So I'm excited to get that stuff going. Paul, for you folks, I'm just guessing, but I suspect you probably have the most number of campers of any camp represented here.
About 170 at a time.
Yeah. And so for you and your role, how do you then get your staff to think about the intentionality of that? And how do you pass that, that down? Or is that even something that's important to you folks?
Well, it's when you guys presented me with this topic, it was interesting because it is one of those things that for us gets wrapped up in tradition,
right?
As this older camp, we have what amounts to a really wonderful debriefing exercise that happens in almost every cabin and tent almost every day. But nobody knows it's an exercise, and nobody knows that it's supposed to, it's part of the intentionality of it. As far as most of our campers and staff are concerned, it's just a tradition that we do at camp. And it's called Rosebud Thorn. And every night, it can be either before we get into bed or after we've gotten into bed, whatever the counselor wants. Everybody shares their rose, their bud, and their thorn. The rose is something that you are really happy about what happened that day. The thorn is something that was hard, and the bud is something that you're looking forward to tomorrow. It's super, super simple in terms of what the kids experience. But it does accomplish that wrapping up and that sort of turning experience into meaning that debriefing can really do and it's beautiful. We love it.
Yeah. And are you able to trace how far that goes back, or is that just one of those things that feels like it's always been?
Before my time, I've been at camp for 12 years, but I imagine it wasn't something that we did in the 20s or 30s. It probably happened at some point in between. I don't know exactly when.
Right. And I would say the thing I like from the way that you're doing it for Wins is also that thing about what I'm looking forward to. Is often if you're just, people would be used to doing a roses and thorn things, which is sort of positive and negative, and you're never too sure that the positive outweighs the negative in that discussion. But by giving kids something to think about for the next day, you sort of move them into, thinking forward. And I really like that model. It's great.
Yeah, you kind of force 2 out of 3 positive. Yeah. a little bit of which is useful.
Right. Sure. Right on.
We did with staff. We don't have the opportunity to get with them every night because they're in with their kids. We do have a staff meeting once a week. And one of the things that we have done more intentionally, I'm sure you all have had the experiences of staff meetings spiraling out of control. What we do is we open every staff meeting with what we call kudos, and they have an opportunity to to publicly praise each other for something that they saw somebody do well. And we let that go on like as forever. Right. We'll let it go on for as long as they want it to go. And then right after that, we have what we call the nag bag, which we really, really limit. It's the here's your chance to like say your negative things. We want them to be short. We want them to be constructive, get them done. And then we move on. And it starts off every staff meeting with a huge dose of positivity and a quick, effective dose of negativity. And then we just get into the business of the meeting and
right.
go to bed. It's nice.
Right on. Joe, is there something formalized at Pierce Williams for wrapping up the day?
It's funny listening to people talk, because when the initial topic came, debriefing your day, it's not something that, as Paul, we don't call it that. But the more I hear Paul and Laura both talk, because we're a Christian camp, it is built in the idea that at the end of the day, we have a Vespers. So after campfire, we have a campfire every night. Kids are only here for a week. We have Vespers, which sort of quiets them down, and then they go back to the individual cabins and have evening devotions or cabin devotions with their staff. And so there's an opportunity there for staff to teach a bit about God and also to talk about the day and where the day is going. We don't have a structure beyond that for it, but we do have that Vespers for, as Paul said, for staff meetings. Once a week, we have a staff devotion that happens. And at our staff meetings, at the end of the week, we do something. We found that highs and lows or rosebud thorn, those things can take a long time. And at an end of week staff meeting where you have a very limited time frame, even if every person in the staff circle takes 2 minutes and there's 30 of them, you're talking about an hour of your meeting being taken up by you know, highs and lows. And so what we switched it to, it's got to be 3 years now, we switched it to something called Sweet Yeah. And so essentially what they have to do as a staff is they say one memory and it's like less than 10 words, right? So it could be, you know, seeing little Rebecca dance at chapel, and then everybody in the circle yells at them, "Sweet, yeah!" And then it moves on to the next person. And we burn through 30 to 40 people in about 5 minutes or less. And then we get on with the staff meeting. And what we always encourage is if you want to follow up with that memory, you go and talk to that person. But a lot of times, all you need is, you don't need someone to explain that memory, because once they say that, other people are like, "Oh yeah, I remember that too," right? So that's where we've moved. I've always believed as a camp director, Travis, that running a Christian camp, it's easier to do the debrief or to get people talking about something because you all are there should be there for a common purpose. And I find that when I've worked at private camps and non-Christian camps, you have to work a lot more on building that purpose in versus having it already pre-built for you, as they're all there because of something to do with God versus they're all there for the kids. That's awesome. But that means different things to different people. So I have found it easier to have these things built in for in a Christian camp setting than in another camp setting.
Gotcha. Jaleesa, what's the culture of connection like at Nuevo?
We do an intentional nightly debrief called Evening Thoughts, mm-hmm. similar to Joe's Evening Discipleship. We believe that you have to schedule this into your camp, so we schedule it into staff training. And like Joe said, prepare for it to take a considerable amount of time if you're doing it with the whole staff. We have a book of Evening Thoughts examples that we provide to staff, as well as model multiple examples of what this can look like. And we tell our staff that your objective during your 15 minutes or 20 minutes of Evening Thoughts is to debrief the day and front load for tomorrow. That's your goal.
Yep.
So we've used Rosebud Thorn. We've used Weather Report. One of my favorites, too, is it's called Tweet the Day. And so you pass out little sheets of paper with, like, the Twitter icon, and the campers have to summarize the day in 140 characters or less. And then they use, like, hashtag Monday or hashtag Tuesday. and the counselors will make like a Twitter board in their cabin. And what a great picture opportunity for a camp director when you're doing cabin inspections to take a picture of that Twitter board and blog out to parents
and
your daily updates. We've also used What Was Your Lady Gaga Moment, because we're an all-girls camp. And so we'll pass around like a giant ice cream cone or a crazy hat, and we'll say, what was your moment today where you went outside your comfort zone, you did something a little crazy, and if you didn't have that moment, where was the time you wish you had done that and you limited yourself? I also think it's a great opportunity to use props, which I'm a big fan of. So one of my favorites is the half and half mixture of sugar and glitter, which reacts really nicely with a campfire. But fair warning, if you use this magic fairy dust mixture, your campfire looks like a My Little Pony massacre for a couple weeks afterwards. So rental groups will be like, what happened here? But we'll have the campers like throw a pinch in per person. And they'll say, I'm going to dream about this today. You know, like whatever happened great today, this is what I'm going to dream about tonight. And my wish for a cabin mate for tomorrow is. So they'll make a wish for another person. So I love props like that. Anything like flash paper that reacts with fire, or any kind of delightful fire explosion is always great for kids.
Any excuse to use flash paper, in my opinion, makes it worth being a camp director. That's one of those things that I wish they had an Amazon subscribe and save for flash paper. It's like, yes, yeah, send me another box of 100 in 3 months. That'd be great. Thank you. That'd be awesome. So lots of places to go. So thank you all for sharing and getting us started on this. Laura, you said as part of, I don't know if it was part of your travels of camping coast to coast or part of your summer experience last year where you took teens in a van, but you said you'd collected a bunch of great examples of things for staff to use specific with the camper. So let's limit this to working with camper group and we'll pull back into the staff group from here.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we noticed, Jack and I, when we were traveling, was that some camps do one thing every night and they get really, really good at it. And it becomes kind of the touchstone where all campers know, like, there's a cabin chat at the end of the night, or there's the Vespers or the debrief, and it's the kind of the same thing. And then other camps did, I think more like Jaleesa is talking about, an activity that's catered to that specific group, when that counselor might have like a mixed bag of things that they pull out. So some of those that we saw were everybody sits around in a circle and there's three people in the middle and everybody else closes their eyes, and the three people in the middle have to go around and tap three other people on the shoulder who you might get advice from, or tap three people on the shoulder who help you feel like seen and heard, or tap three people on the shoulder who you would want to take on vacation with. And then you kind of, everybody has a chance to be in the center of the circle. And it's a way of doing affirmations that's a little bit more anonymous. We saw at Camp Tall Tree, which is the camp that Scott and Sylvia run for kids with autism out in Michigan, they do a bead ceremony where each camper every night passes around a bag of beads and selects one bead out of the bag and talks about like their bead moment of the day, kind of like their big takeaway, and then puts that bead on a string which they attach to their walking stick, which they carry around all week. I've seen camps do things from Chicken Soup for the Soul. When we were working at Camp Seymour, I had a counselor who did a funeral for the word "I can't," and she took her 12-year-old girls into the woods, and everybody wrote down a phrase starting with the words "I can't," and then very ceremoniously they dug a hole and in a tin box they buried all of these phrases and then walked away kind of feeling more empowered from there. So again, using props and being really creative with like how do you sum up or reflect the day in a way that's going to like stick with you, I think.
That's awesome. I've seen and done as a counselor the I Can't funeral, and it is a really impactful moment. I just thought of a cool way to take that from that moment to something that, you know, take it from camp to that wider world. And I love to think of ways that we can give kids those tools to take home. And one thing, this is just come to me now, that There's a thing, and I forget what it's called, for making fire starter where you take cotton and you burn it, you put coals on top of it inside a tin can, and then it becomes, and that process has a word. If anybody can think of what that is, you just have this browned, basically charcoal made out of cloth, from cotton cloth, that you keep in a tin that you can add to tinder and then helps burn. So we can't come up with that word. That's fine. but look up that process. It's really cool. But if you had those kids do, write that on a like bandana sized thing with colored marker, then you put that all in a tin and then you pile coal on it and you let the stuff go and it'll all turn black. But then it becomes something to start a fire with later, to move, to take that home. So you give everybody kid a little Altoid sized can of, tinder, in effect, for starting a fire, from moving from that moment into, you know, I can to I will, or I can to I shall, to, you know, I can't to I shall.
What a cool idea.
Yeah.
The takeaway piece from that is powerful.
Right on. I'm going to write that down. There's my next tool of the week. So thank you for that, Laura, for inspiring that. Are there, we've all had...
I believe, Travis, just to FYI, it's called charcloth.
Charcloth, thank you, Joe. Thanks for Googling that. we've all had a variety of camp experiences. Have there been other things you've seen that aren't necessarily going on for your, at your camp right now, but something you've seen in the past that that you want to share?
I've seen Florida 4-H, so shout out to Neva Baltzel's amazing program. They do their debrief called Milk Mamas and Milk Daddies,
yeah,
which is an unfortunate name, but a delightful concept. And the leadership staff take chocolate milk and cookies and go to the cabins. So the cabin counselors don't lead the debrief. It would be like your unassigned leadership staff who don't counsel, whoever those people are in your world. And they come into the cabins to do the debrief. And as one of those former leadership staff, it was such a great way to get a pulse on camp and get a connection to kids, which you don't get in that next step. So I really love that example. I've also seen a day camp run where they do their daily debrief, which can be really tough for day camp to get that same feel as the evening time debrief. And they gave the kids like a sweet survival bracelet,
yeah,
and they taught a different knot every day. And so the kids would tie the knot on their bracelet, and each knot represented a skill they got that day at day camp. And then they sent home at the end of the week a list of what the knots were to the parents and what each knot
That's
represented.
Amazing. Right on. That's so great. So that concept of the resource staff person and cabin groups, we did that when we were directing, and we called that person the grandparent, because they'd come in, have fun, and leave the counselors to put the kids to bed, but they could always be that resource to the counselors. And it was really a great thing. Some staff took it to amazing places, but at least it was a connection with another, you know, the next generation older, not generation, but then, you know, the next group older, those kids get connected to an older resource staff person. And also I think for those resource staff to feel a true connection to kids instead of just, you know, cycling kids through climbing wall or whatever. It's just a group of kids that they can have a real relationship with. And that does lead to those moments of honesty and connection that I think helps kids feel at home and helps the staff really, really feel and understand their purpose. Paul, is there anything that you've seen in your travels that, that you like or always thought of?
Yeah, I've been sitting here thinking about, and it's not an activity per se, but I came to summer camp through wilderness tripping, and Four Winds has a trip program, and I think it's so important to take advantage of that last night of a trip, that if you've got a multi-day, any sort of multi-day wilderness trip, that last night is an opportunity to sit around the campfire, hopefully if there's not a fire ban out west, and do some sort of debriefing activity, because that is such a hugely powerful moment of accomplishment. But if you wait until the actual exit day of the trip, there's too much going on. You've got to get in a van. You got to get back. You know, sometimes there's a tradition, like you go get ice cream or pizza or on the way home or whatever it is. And you can't have that debriefing moment. It's got to happen on the last night when you're still out in the field. And I've had some of the most sort of powerful debriefing moments of my career in that setting on that last night. And that's a key time to make sure you're taking advantage of.
Right on. How about for you, Joe, and all of your camp work?
I think that it's something that I don't put a lot of thought into anymore because it just sort of gets built into everything I think about. As a, you know, if I was to talk to a group of new counselors, I would say that is what's the difference between making you a camp counselor and making you a memorable and amazing camp counselor can be those 5 minutes at night with the whole cabin group, or can be right the time talking and making sure that you're listening to how people are breaking down that day. And I encourage that to happen through any variety of methods, and I love all the methods we learned today, but I can't think of any specifics to add right now.
Okay. There is, so one of the things that I talk to with clients and in most of my presentations is about the value of one-on-one connection at camp, and that is so important for a kid to not feel like they disappear into the group or to, you know, they disappear into a dining hall full of screaming kids, but that there is one person who recognizes them, knows their name, et cetera. One of my worst experiences of that was going away on trip and being gone for 10 days, coming back and seeing a kid from the church where I grew up at this camp and talking to his counselor. This kid was a lot younger than I was. And just talking to his counselor after the kid had been there for 5 days, talked to the counselor and saying, "Is that David Chesney?" And the counselor being like, "Oh, that kid, I don't remember his name." 5 days. He didn't know of the seven kids and eight kids in his group. He didn't know a kid's name. And that just cemented in my head how much we have to drill that in, that the one-on-one, it can't just be a part of the group. They need to be one-on-one. And I think there are lots of moments for that. So this big end of the day debrief is really important, but having a connection with each kid every day, just 30 seconds walking a place where they are not cabin eight or, you know, cabin white pine, but they're just one kid from that cabin with a staff member, is essential to getting kids to come back. It's essential to them feeling like they are connected to a place. And so that kind of connection and debriefing is just a checking in. Sometimes for counselors, that's kind of awkward. And I would even go so far as to spend half an hour in training and say, here's the social script for you. Like when you have those moments with these kids where everybody's walking and singing, you have one kid kind of dragging behind, then take that moment and ask him these questions. You know, who's your best friend at camp? What's your favorite thing to do? Just some sort of get them talking and make them feel like they've connected. And that really is essential to a good experience to a kid for me. Paul, do you guys do the key log ceremony?
We do. We do it at the end of the summer. Well, for a long time, we've done it at the end of the summer for staff.
Right.
Talk about Joe's thing where it can go on a long time. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
We've actually recently started to do it with our oldest campers on one of the last nights of our. We have a 4-week session, so it's not the last night of camp, but the second or third to last night. I can't remember. It's gone well. Sure. I think it's one of those things where camps borrow each other's traditions liberally. But the actual manifestation of that tradition at a particular camp always has a little bit of a different feel. And for us, the way the key log ceremony has played out has been incredibly powerful and deep for staff. The senior campers, it's good. It's variable. They're not quite ready to go so deep, but it's still good for them.
Right on. So The key log that I've seen, and I don't know if this is what it looks like at Four Winds, but the key log that I've seen is have a gathering campfire, let the fire go down to embers, and then give people a chance to put a log on the fire and say a thank you to somebody for something that they've done for them this week. Is that echo what you guys do, or something that's happened for them over the summer?
And that is what we do. The idea, of course, is that the fire sort of rebuilds from those embers as people put on their logs. The symbolism has diminished because our staff thank each other for so long that the fire doesn't quite rebuild.
Right.
So we sort of mentioned, hey, this is the symbolism that's supposed to happen, but you guys talk. You guys love each other so much that you have a hard time letting the fire take the center stage.
Right.
But yeah, that is the idea.
Right. I've seen key log in Wisconsin at Camp Nabagaman, and they do it weekly. And so it's and I think what they've been able to get out of doing it weekly is, I'm sure the first week it's mostly very senior campers and staff, but then as the summer goes on, the younger kids get used to the idea, they, get comfortable in that space that's created every Sunday night, and then are willing to stand up in front of people and drop a log in. So maybe they don't have it for as long, but they have worked a way to get the younger kids to express some thoughts about the time there.
Yeah, we have we give out jewelry. We have a gypsy theme at Four Winds, and we call it gypsy jewelry, and there's different levels of it. Every time someone gets a piece of gypsy jewelry, it's the same sort of ceremony. We surprise the person, we sing a song, everyone says something nice about the person receiving the jewelry, they get to pick a song, and it's over. And occasionally when staff get jewelry, especially if they're not a cabin counselor, there's a move to have only staff come to the ceremony, because that's who their relationships are with, and so forth. And we very much understand that impulse, but we really push against it, because even if the campers don't say those incredibly deep, powerful things, them being present to see staff say it, it's so important.
Yep.
And there's so much to be gained there, and so I think that sort of concept of having people who aren't quite ready to say those things publicly be there and learn from that is an important thing.
Yep, absolutely. And we've often talked about it's important to show the community how we treat each other with respect and how we honor those who've gone before us. And, and I think it helps people set goals for, I want to be that kind of person. So one other thing I was going to add in about debriefing with kids, and the experience that I learned over time is that in the setting aside a time at night for this conversation, I think it's important to help your staff to set the mood, that you can't just jump in to bare your soul or talk about something that's difficult. And we always... we'd often tell staff to read a story just to quiet people down, or play some music and sing, whatever it is that would quiet those kids down. And I also, in the same way Jaleesa had a prop, I really like the idea of, and to have seen work really well, the idea of some sort of focusing tool. And what I used to do in that moment was sit on the floor in the middle of the cabin and stand up a flashlight and blow bubbles across it. And it was just sort of the way that the bubbles lit up in that little beam of light was just one little focusing thing to establish a mood. And also, after you've done it for a few nights, it's a signal. Like, everybody just shifts quicker into the mode of doing that. Does anybody else have any other things that they've done or that they teach just to get kids to that place?
I think you're really right, Travis. The idea of like creating a ceremony around it and a ritual around it. There's, it's like that touchstone memory piece where, like, again, it's the signal to the rest of the group. Oh, we're moving into this like kind of separate time from the silliness that sometimes is all of camp. I have a slightly tangential but related story. I've been able to in the past few weeks accompany this woman who's a community activist. She works a lot with restorative justice, and she goes into the school system and does basically what we do at camp in this reflective time,
yeah.
but with kids and teachers. And it's been amazing for me, coming from a camp background, to see how powerful it is in a setting where that doesn't happen very often. There's the kind of tears from seventh graders and their teachers. When she was describing it to me, I was like, oh, you know, of course that's what you do. That's how you relate to people. But it's so foreign to a system that's not from camp. So what they have done in the schools is to create like a centerpiece that everybody kind of adds something to. And then you feel like there's something that you all connect with that's inside the center of where you're sitting. And that touchstone of I'm a part of the circle physically sitting around it, but also the values that I hold represented in this object are also in the center of the circle. And that has that kind of allowed everybody to stay involved even if they weren't talking. So, it was a signifying, tone-setting, mood-changing element.
What sort of things would kids add to the object in the center, add to the grouping of things in the center?
It was called their talking piece, and they added things like their grandpa's dog tags or pictures of mom and dad, baby blankets, stuffed animals, things that they'd made, things that they'd collected. Yeah, it was pretty moving. It was like show and tell, but it had a really serious element to it. That was kind of cool, yeah.
Right on.
One of the things that comes to mind when I listen to this discussion about other things to keep kids connected is the actual origin of the raccoon circle that Jim Kane has popularized with Dr. Tom Smith, right? Is that the idea of connecting kids in a circle and giving them something to touch. And we do that at camp as well. Every 2 to 3 years, we give every staff member a raccoon circle as part of their toolkit. And it just really helps kids connect and talk about things when there's a cabin group that has issues. Oftentimes they'll work through it while holding onto a raccoon circle, giving them something, which is a piece of climbing webbing that is, you know, about 15 feet to 20 feet long, gives them something to touch and hold. And even those kids who don't communicate verbally are still part of the circle at that moment in time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I said that we would talk about how we debrief with staff, but we've managed to talk for 35 minutes about how to do it with campers. And I'd like to just maintain that focus for this show. So let's... let's commit to bring this group together to talk about how we do different kinds of debriefing with staff. I think it's a great topic, Laura. And so thank you for helping us think of it today. If there's any other thoughts that have come up for anybody, now's the time, or I'll move us on. Yes, Laura?
I have one closing thought. At Try Things Camp, we're going to see about doing a different way of solving conflict and a different way of addressing kind of the interpersonal conflicts or the conflicts with like the community at large at camp. And I think using this the powerful moment at night of this debrief time, we're going to model it. The structure and the ritual and the ceremony surrounding it is going to be the same for when there are conflicts. So we're going to call the time at the end of night circle time.
Yep.
And the idea of a circle being a tool to solve conflict in a community. So this is actually a Canadian, it started in Canada, but a restorative justice circle used by First Nations people.
Yep.
And the concept of sitting around in a circle, bringing the victim or the perpetrator or the, you know, all the different names that are involved in that, but and a circle keeper into the space, and then using that to address the hurt and heal rather than finding blame. What I'm hoping to do is take this moment at night and create a way for it to be not a scary thing for kids to call circles on others then throughout the rest of the week. So.
Right.
It kind of normalizes it in a way that will make it accessible for kids to use as a tool to solve problems and conflicts during the session.
That's right on. And Laura, you had a resource for that?
Yeah, I'm reading this book called Peacemaking Circles: From Crime to Community, and they give a great outline of how to structure a setting and create those ceremonies and rituals so that people feel empowered to bring up their grievances in a way that will be, you know, heard on a deeper level as a whole community.
Right. Great. Well, thank you again for the discussion, everybody. Some great thoughts, and Laura for the idea. We will come back to debriefing with staff and how to give them a moment in a day or a moment in a week where, you know, they're conscious of what's going on at camp instead of just surviving it. And so I really look forward to that discussion and hope to have the four of you back for that. What I want to say before I move us on to the next section is to thank those of you who are watching on YouTube and encourage you to subscribe, but also to those who are listening while you're driving or walking the dog or in all those places that we've heard from people listening to us. In fact, that's such an awesome idea. While you're listening to the show, post something on Instagram and tag Camp Hacker, and I'll share it with these folks. We'd love to hear where people are listening to the show and see where that is that you're listening. So please do that. What I was going to say is if you've got some valuable stuff from this discussion or from past Camp Hacker podcasts, then I would be really grateful if you would just go to iTunes and leave us an honest review. If you're listening on the Stitcher app, then please do so there. It helps us just get the word out to other camp pros who would appreciate learning from the four people who have gathered here today with me to share stuff. So to make that easy, you can go to camphacker.tv/iTunes, and it'll open right up that spot to do that. So, thank you for a great discussion. What I need to do now is move us on to the tool of the week.
Tool of the week.
For those of you who are just connecting with us the first time, or you're a second or third time listener, we do the tool of the week every time as part of the show. We ask that each person who comes as a panelist brings to us part of this discussion something that helps them be a better camp director or to make their camp better. And so we're excited to do that and talk about the tool. Paul, I'm looking forward to hearing what your tool is this week.
Yeah, no problem, Travis. My tool is strategic planning, which when I first heard this word or this phrase, I definitely thought it was something like, you know, synergy or one of these, you know, nonsense corporate words that were really annoying and frankly the exact reason why I wanted to be a camp professional and not be in the corporate world. But I promise it is not. It is a super, super useful tool for any kind of organization where there's sort of multiple decision makers and players. In my particular setting, we've got a board of 18 people. And we're also running a business where stuff comes at us that we don't always plan for. What strategic planning does is it centers you on your purpose as an organization, your strengths, your weaknesses, your values, the opportunities and threats that are out there. And then you kind of go through that process with a group of the key decision makers, and then you come up with a handful of goals for the year, and those goals for the year are all tied to your reason for being, and the sort of conditions on the ground, and then all of a sudden you've got your map for the year. You don't have to get distracted by all the different things that are out there. Somebody smarter than me, said something about if you've got lots of priorities, you actually don't have any priorities.
Right. Right.
that setting up those handful of goals, four or five real substantial goals for the year, and focusing on those and honestly forgetting most everything else unless it's a real emergency, leads to real palpable measurable growth in an organization. And for somebody who answers to 18 people,
yep,
it also removes the politics and the different priorities and the opinions that, you know, come at me fairly regularly. I highly recommend the process. In terms of how to do it, I would recommend a book called Beyond Entrepreneurship by Jim Collins and William Lazier. That book does have a lot of corporate examples, so if that turns you off, just be prepared for it, but you can't ignore it. That's a good one. I would also I would ask around and look to see if there's somebody from the outside that can come and help be sort of a facilitator for that process. We had a gentleman that helped us. I don't want to share his name because it's sort of a retirement passion project for him, and I don't want to advertise if he doesn't want to be advertised.
Right.
But you can ask around. ACA is a good resource. There are people out there that can help you do this, and it does help to have that outside voice come in and help you with that process.
Great stuff. Thanks so much, Paul.
No problem.
Joe, how about for you?
So my tool this week is something to do with winter, which we're all hoping is over for this year. But it's called the Snowcaster, and I forget where I originally saw it, but essentially it is a blade that is, the one I own is 36 inches wide, but it's on wheels, and it's like a snow pusher. So for an inch or 2 inches of snow, light snow or heavier snow, it's really easy to walk behind this, and it's an angled blade, so it acts like a snow plow and pushes it off to one side. The great thing is when you get to the far end of a sidewalk, and we have 6-foot wide sidewalks here at camp, about 2,000 feet of them, when you get to the far end, you flip it over, and it's hard to explain. I can't explain it on an audio program. You flip it over, and it's still pushing the same way. So you don't have to walk back down to the other end of the sidewalk to keep pushing the snow the same direction.
Right.
It is it's a tool I bought for about $100 Canadian on Amazon, and I just thought for our new sidewalks, if this works, it's great, because light snow, you don't want to get a snow blower or a snow plow, and it's magical when you use it. Anybody can use it. It's like pushing a push cart. It's magical to see how fast snow leaves, and this is one of those tools that we don't use every day, but the days you need it, this will solve the problem much faster than anything else.
Right on. Thank you, Joe. Paul, do you guys ever get snow on Oryx Island?
Very rarely. We haven't once or twice a winter. We actually haven't at all this winter.
Right.
Yeah.
But Joe's tool will be great for many of us. I've just... A little side diversion there, because that's where my head goes sometimes. So, Jaleesa, what's your tool?
My tool of the week is called Classy, which is a crowdfunding, peer-to-peer event registration and website donations all under one roof. You can find it at classy.org. And for a free membership, which many of camps, that's what you'd be looking at, you can do two campaigns at a time. So you could do like your scholarship donations and your capital campaign fund. There's a 5% transaction fee. You get one administrator with that. It's very mobile friendly. We use a monthly pro membership, which is about $500 a month, but we do all of our event registration through Classy. So we've got like an upcoming Mother's Day brunch with 3 seatings that sells out every year. And we take all of the payment processing through this form. But it's just so easy to use. It's so like clean and delightful. Very easy to track your donations. We had a massive auction a couple weeks ago called Camp Nuevo into Moonlight, where we raised about $20,000 in one night with like auctions of like gift baskets. And we took all the payment over this system with multiple computers going at once, all on this system. So it's called Classy. We're a big fan of it. If you're trying to do a lot of online donations and you want a way to do it not on your site that's really safe and protected, we recommend Classy.
That's amazing. Thank you very much for that. Laura, what's your tool?
my tool of the week is felting. We discovered this craft project when we were at Camp Augusta, and they said was their most popular craft for multiple summers in a row, and they have some incredible facilities on site, including glass blowing, lamp working, blacksmithing. really high dollar program areas, and this, which is pretty cheap, was their favorite. So basically, you take raw felt, which looks like this, and you poke it a bunch of times with a pretty dull needle that has barbs on it, and it takes whatever shape you're looking for. So I'm a big advocate of kids having a chance to make things at camp. I think that that is a powerful tool. And so this is a very simple, anybody can do activity that doesn't cost a lot of money, and I think is going to be a hit this summer.
Right on. Are there places that people can learn it?
Yeah, if you type felting into Pinterest, you can put pretty much any word behind it and get a huge list of stuff. Felting beginner, felting animals, felting kids.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Right on. So my tool of the week is a book by James C. Humes called Speak Like Churchill and Stand Like Lincoln. There we go. It's not new. It's an older book, like 20 years old, but it has some interesting lessons for people who do public speaking, which really includes all of us, in whether at conferences or in our role as director. And I haven't finished it yet, but I'm even in the halfway through it. I found tons of great insight into public speaking, and might be something that I would give as a present to a young staff member who you could tell loves to be involved in training or wants to get more involved in training and may not have the confidence, or even somebody who's great at it and wants to get better. So a really great book that I'm really enjoying, and I thought that would be good for this group. Camp Professionals is a good tool. So that gives us everybody's tool. So I want to indeed again thank everybody for being here. Thank you to those who are watching on YouTube and listening on your smartphones. I want to thank my guests for being here. Joe, if people have some follow-up questions for you, where can they get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with me would be to email me at camp, or at my yoyojoe.com is my own website and what I do. But you can follow all of that we do at camp and get in touch with me there. And the website there is campisbetter.com.
Right on. Thanks for being here, Joe.
Yep.
And Laura, what's the best place that people can get in touch with you?
Go ahead and email me at laura@campstompingground.com. You can also contact me on Facebook or all of the social media platforms at campstompingground.com.
Right on.
Or at campstompingground.
Yes. Laura, thanks for being here and for the topic. And Jaleesa, how can people follow up with you?
They can email me, Jaleesa@campnewego.org, and Jaleesa is spelled J-A-L-I-S-A. They can also find me at campnewego.org.
Great. Jaleesa, thanks for being here.
Yay.
Paul, how about you?
You could email me at paul@fourwindscamp.org. Fourwindscamp.org is also our camp's website where you can find out all of our stuff that we do, and you can find all my social media stuff at paulsheridan.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you. If you want to see our tools of the week or even more episodes of the show, please go to campacker.tv/podcast, and we'll give you the links to the tools there that we've been talking about, and as I say, all the past episodes. If you have enjoyed the show and want to more of your camp friends to see it, then I would encourage you to go to campacker.tv/love, and that'll give you something to put out, a suggestion for what to put on your Twitter to get some other people listening to the Camp Hacker Show. I really do appreciate those who listen, who watch the videos. It's always wonderful to run into people at conferences, just finishing up conference season now, and always funny to have that experience of people like, hey, I know your voice. And so to all the people who said hello at conferences this year, we're so grateful that you'd spend the time and say hello and tell us what you'd like or don't like about the show. It's an honor to be able to present this to you, and that it's had an impact on people in the camp world is obviously our intention, but we're grateful that we've been able to do that. So thanks for joining us, and thanks for the evening, friends.
The Camp Hacker Podcast is brought to you by Beth and Travis Allison, summer camp leadership training and marketing consultants. Thanks for listening. Camp Hacker, bringing your world into focus.